So be careful what you say.
She said, too much. That's our coffee. You may invite me to leave.
I'm glad you're back.
Thank
Good
you.
to see
Yeah, we've been saving that seat for you.
Okay. Taking every type of medicine and nasals. Think that they develop.
Hi, Jerry.
Morning, Paula. Okay, thanks, Mario. Well, good evening, everybody. We were just waiting on you. Like everybody's signed in, so let's take a moment. Begin with a moment of gratitude. Moment of realizing our connection with one another. I've had a unity principle floating around my brain most of yesterday and this morning. There is only one power, God the good, omnipotent. There is only one power, God the good, omnipotent. Even if you don't see it, even if you don't feel it, you can still know it's there. And there is nothing, nothing, nothing that can separate us from that power. Even in the strangest of times, when it seems as if so many things are going in the wrong direction, My job is to find the good, find the God in this, or at least to be open to the God in this, to reveal itself to me in its own definite time. Not when I want it, not when I think I need it, but when it is most important to me. Last week, we were asked to make a list of our fears. Not a big, long toilet paper roll list, but a simple list of the things that we are most afraid of. So I'm going to review some of that reading because I think it's so tremendously important. Because not only it is about making a list, it's about releasing that stuff as well. Because it is only in the higher consciousness that we can be free. So I'm going to begin on page 347, down towards the bottom. We don't make you saints, you see. This is not about leaving the world. It's about being fully in the world as the true self, and in honor, not in fear, in joy, not in anger, and in forgiveness, not in punishment. Actually, I've got that underlined, starred, and highlighted in my book. Say that again. This is not about leaving the world. It's about being fully in the world as the true self, and in honor, not in fear, in joy, not in anger, and in forgiveness, not in punishment. The requirement now at this stage of the journey is to list the things that frighten you at this juncture, to make a simple list of what you have carried thus far that you believe can never be changed, to decide for the self that all things on this list are creations of the small self, and realize at this level of alignment, they are not required. My short list: fear of getting older, fear of becoming infirm, fear of needing somebody to take care of me, fear of asking someone to take care of me. Some fears that have been with me most of my life. Fear of not being enough. Fear of what other people think. I know that should have been gone years ago, but it's still there. Huh? Every once in a while it raises up again. Oh, he's still here, huh? Yep, they're still here. That's my short list of probably the ones that affect me the most. And I will probably do that again when I review this, probably this afternoon or tomorrow. We will list some things for you. Fear of poverty, fear of inaction, fear of death, the things you can't get past, the unforgiveness of this one or that one. Or it might be the ones that I'm not willing or able to forgive myself for. I've got a few of those. One of the promises in AA recovery says, you will not regret the past and wish to shut the door on it. Well, not quite there yet. There's still some things in my past that I regret. I wish I had done differently. And yet I can still learn from the past. I mean, for me, that's the most important piece of that promise. You don't shut the door on it because the past can, I don't need to hold on to it, but the past can still be my teacher. The things you can't get past, the forgiveness of this one or that one, the fear of making a move you know will benefit you. That's interesting. I'll stay here where it's comfortable, where I think it's safe. I did that a lot with my relationship with Margot. I wanted her to be safe and loving at the same time, and I realized that that was not possible. If I wanted to be safe, then I had to stay where I was. And by staying where I was, I couldn't possibly get into a relationship that I needed. Now, I wasn't unsafe, but it felt scary. Doesn't anymore. It's cool. Took
<goodness. laughs>
about 30 years, all right? The fear of making a move, you know, would benefit you. The fear of being loved. Sounds like a strange one, doesn't Hear me. If I let someone love me, then I'm going to have to drop the masks. I'm going to have to drop all the disguises. I'm going to have to let them love me the way I am. Not even just the way I perceive myself, but the way that I am. The fear of trusting, the fear of allowing someone in. Whatever it may be for you, we would like you to write it down. And I really encourage you to do this. Not right in this moment, but sometime this week. And that will become a little bit clearer as we move along. What you will write will be a list of beliefs that you are holding that you believe. In one way or another, you require. I think I need this. I think I need this fear. I think I need this, whatever it might happen to be. And excuse me. 9 times out of 10, what we were holding on to is something that we think is going to keep us safe, but it really doesn't. What you will write will be a list of beliefs that you are holding that you believe. In one way or another, you require. They have served you for some reason. They're not bad. They've served you for some reason, and a reason you may never know. It's not wrong that they are there, but we will honor you this way. They cannot come any higher. You can't enter the room, the upper room, with that baggage. Just doesn't work. It's like that expression of Jesus when the rich young man turned away sadly because he had many possessions. And the apostle said to Jesus, "Well, who then can enter the kingdom of heaven?" And he said, "It is more difficult for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." He said, "Well, who could possibly do that?" Well, what they didn't realize is that, first of all, that is a Mideastern metaphor. There was a gate, one of the gateways into Jerusalem was very small. And in order for a camel to go through it, the camel had to get down on its knees and move through the gateway. So it was difficult, but not impossible. They cannot come any higher. Now, get this. This is probably the most, well, I would say it's the most important piece. It is to me at the moment. Now, of your own will, you can do nothing with these things. It's not a matter of willpower and saying, "Well, I'm going to get rid of those because those aren't good for me anymore." That's the small self talking again. If you could have, you would have done it a long time ago. Here is where mercy comes into play, and grace, and understanding that the alignment you hold is your gift from the Creator as well as your birthright. If you stand before us today, we your teachers, we who love you, we who shepherd you up the mountain, and you give us this list, we will, I love this. Give us this list. We will carry it for you until it is no longer yours. We will carry it for you because it is no longer yours. We will carry it for you until you forget that it was your own list. And when we take it out of our, and when we take it out of our hands, it will be gone. You must understand, friends, that these things that you hold in such high fear were never really real to begin with. at this level of freedom. Even the body you see in its way is an illusion. It's a temporary vehicle that you shepherd through. We will carry the list and we will love you as the list has disappeared. You don't need to do anything else but write it down and be willing to let it go. That's our job. Write it down and be willing to let it go. Paul is asking, how do you do this for us? Because we know the truth of who and what you are. Because we do not lie, and we do not hold lies in our vibration. In other words, we don't hold the lies of fear. They are non-existent in our mind and our consciousness. We see that you have them. We see that you might be holding on to them. But we also see that you might think that they're real, but they're not. When you give a lie to one who cannot hold a lie, the lie disappears. It's like Velcro, doesn't stick. So somebody tells you an untruth about who you are. There are some, this is interesting, I didn't think about this when I was going over this lesson. We all have a shadow side, stuff that we have not been willing to accept in our lives yet. And that could be positive things as well as negative things. Sometimes in the shadow side is the ability to be loved unconditionally. Well, I'm not sure whether I'm there yet, so I better put that in the bag. When you give a lie to one who cannot hold a lie, the lie is disappeared. It doesn't stick. There's no place for it to go. So somebody might say to me, you're a really lousy teacher. And you know what? That wouldn't affect me because I know in my guts that's not true. It's not an ego trip. I just know it's not true. Now, if somebody were to come up to me and said, you're pretty sure of yourself, aren't you? I go, I'm not quite sure about that one. I haven't quite gotten through that one yet. The crown you receive at the top of the mountain is the crown of the kingdom, but you cannot enter the kingdom when you carry your bags of fear. We understand that at this height, you have been through much. You've had a lifetime already of disappointment or worry or fear, and so we offer you this. The kingdom you see has always been present. You don't have to be honored by entering. You are honored by being, just because you are who you are. You are the one that keeps you from it. You are the only one. So we are making it possible now to take you there in love and in the honor that we hold you in. The honor that we hold you in. We honor your willingness to take on this journey. We honor your willingness to heal and to release. Because not in your healing and your release, you not only do something for yourself, you do that for all creation. There is nothing that you can do that doesn't affect everyone and everything. And that includes the positive as well as the negative. You are honored by being. You are the one that keeps you from it. You are the only one. So we are making it possible now to take you there in love and in the honor we hold you in. There is no one who is reading this text who is not seen for who they are by those who scribe it. There is no one reading this text who is unworthy of the climb they have made thus far. And there is no one unworthy, finally, 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 of the love of the Creator, regardless of what you think. Paul in the Epistle to Romans said there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can separate you from the love of God, whether you think so or not, no matter what you think, no matter what you feel, no matter what your past was, no matter what your future would be from God's love. Excuse me, somebody needs to mute them. Hello. Thank you. That doesn't mean if you have a question, you don't have to ask it. You can. There is no one who is reading this text who is not seen for who they are by those of us who scribe it. There is no one reading this text who is unworthy of the climb they have made thus far. And there is no one unworthy, finally, 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 of the love of the Creator, regardless of what you think. Now, if you have given a list to us in your own way, and we encourage you to write that down, don't just do it in your head. Give it some physical representation in the material world. We are already holding it, or we're going to be holding it. If you wish to do this as a ritual, that is up to you. And we'll do this as a meditation before we close this morning, but I'll read it out loud for now. You can imagine us before you with open hands. Here's you. Here's me holding on to this stuff, right, that I think is going to keep me safe. And I realize it never did keep me safe. So I become a little bit more willing to let that go. I open myself up. I soften. I'm willing to release this. I'm willing to let it go. That's as far as my small self can take me. You can imagine us before you with open hands. So the guides are standing on the other side of the altar with open hands as well, saying, "We are ready to receive your list. We are ready to release you from it until it disappears by itself." You can imagine us before you with open hands, carrying for you the very thing you placed there. But if you place it in our hands, please don't respond by tugging on our robes and saying, "Can I have it back for a little while? I think I need it still." If you do that, it's yours again, but you're going to have to go through the process of releasing again. That's okay. That's why I suggest sometimes that when we're doing an exercise like this, or a prayerful exercise like this, that you check out your willingness. I am willing to release this thing or these things. Am I? Or am I willing to be willing? Am I willing to be willing to be willing? Take as many steps back as you need to take until you find a spot that is, I don't want to say comfortable for you so much, but till you find a spot where you can be okay with it. Then I'm in touch with my willingness. I might be five steps beyond or behind it, but I'm open to my willingness at this particular stage. And as I become used to that, I'll become used to the next one and the next one and the next one until I get closer and closer and closer to real willingness. If you do that, it is yours again, but you can become willing, and you can become willing to be willing, and you can become willing to be willing to be willing. That's where I find myself sometimes. And that's okay. That's just where I happen to be. We will say this for you. You are being witnessed by the light that is within you. You are being witnessed by the light that is within you. Wow. There's a line from an old Jackson Brown song. When the light that's lost within us reaches the sky. I just love that. When the light that's lost within us reaches the sky. You are being witnessed by the light that is within you. and you are being witnessed by the light that surrounds you. You are being lit up by the truth of who you are, and she will shepherd you forward as well. We will say this for Paul, who is questioning in the background. You are not carrying any of this. This is done by us in fullness and in full awareness of the charge we are making. We have the weight, you see. We have the light. We have the knowing to transmute fear. And if you allow us, Paul, we will transmute yours as well. But you have to be willing, and you have to understand, as does the reader, that all fear ever gets you is more of the same. The reckoning you have to stand before us, just as you are, is the reckoning of the one who says, "Yes, I am. I am willing. I am willing. I am willing." And as you do this with us, we will turn away from you for your one purpose. There is a higher climb, and we would like you to follow. The creations of mankind will be witnessed from the next plateau. The creations of mankind will be attended to by you, by all of you, as you traverse this next stage. If you can imagine standing in a high place where you can see all before you, you will be asked to witness all things man has known, all war, all famine, all fear, as well as joy and love and beauty. From this mountain peak, you can see it all. And in your mind's eye, we want you to say this with us, because it's all good. It's all, everything reflects the presence of God. There is nothing that doesn't, no matter what your judgment about it might be like, no matter what it might appear to be. I see all things with the eyes of the Christ. I see all manifestations of mankind with the eyes of the Christ. I see through history. I see through time. I see through the fog of indecision and confusion to witness the light that is in all things. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know how I serve. I am word through all that I see before me. Word, I am word. You are the light, my friends. And from this high place, you heal the world. God as you, the Spirit of God as you, works through you to transform and to relieve all the darkness that has been in the awareness of divine love. There is no man on this plane who is unworthy. You are here. You are being witnessed. And as you are being witnessed by us, we will witness all men. As you witness all men, all women, you witness the creation of man, the fear, the crime, whatever you would claim as outside of the light, you bring to the light. As you lift it in your vision, I am word through what I see before me. I see with the eyes of the Christ, you become a beacon of light that heals the world. Your incarnation at this level of agreement is a guarantee. Your freedom at this level of alignment is a guarantee. But you will not be moored, attached by things of this world if you are to be the light that shines on all. If you want to go back down the mountain, you may. It is your choice always. But you have come to heal the world, each and every one of you. Paul is saying, what about the one who says, I don't want to heal the world? I just want to like myself a bit more. I just want to have a nice time in life. She is on the mountainside too, doing exactly what we are describing. Her small self knows what she is in a small way and still seeks solace through small things. But her divine self hears our words and says, yes, I know. I am here. I have come. I have come. I have risen in joy and in love, in my right to be. I am here. I am here. I am here. And the secret is, or one of the secrets is, that once you cross the threshold in knowing what connection or alignment with divine consciousness is all about, you can't go back. You can pretend, you can fall back. How did Ram Dass put it? He said, once you're awake, you can't fall asleep again. You can doze. In other words, you can be in forgetfulness for a while, but it's never going to be lasting because there's always going to be something that reminds you there's a higher consciousness than the little one that's holding on to the small self and holding on to fear. You and I, you know that. I know that.
Hey, Jerry.
Yes.
Hey, that last part that Paul had said, that got me. And I'll tell you the reason why is that I have to be really mindful in terms of what it is that I share, because I've encountered that just in terms of, you know, I may be sharing some sort of spirituality with someone, you know, I'm just sharing that. And then it comes back, maybe not so much what Paul said, but it's pretty much sounds like that. Well, I don't really want all that. I just want to just have fun. I just want to just live my life. So anyway.
Okay, thanks. We don't have to force ourselves to make a decision about being in our higher consciousness as compared to being in our lower consciousness. All we need to do is be aware, because there's a different awareness that goes with that. I know what my small self's goals are. I know what its fears are. I also know what it's like to be in the upper room. I also know what it's like to try to be in the upper room but carry things that are incompatible with being in a higher state of consciousness. Simply put, those marvelous words that came to me a couple of years ago about knowing a distinction between higher consciousness and lower consciousness. Ask myself, is what I am holding on to, the thought that I'm listening to, or the action that I'm contemplating, does it open my heart or does it close my heart? And I believe it's that simple. Does it open my heart or does it close my heart? I'm going to close the book there at that point. There was a lot we read from the book this morning because my words were not even comparable or close to the essence of what they were talking about. I understood it, but I didn't want to interrupt that flow of thought by my stuff. So we're going to take a couple minutes, a little bit longer than usual, to do a meditation about that release and that healing. So I'm going to ask you to put your stuff down, if you don't mind. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. And allow yourself to relax and soften. Soften so you become more receptive. Soften so you release anything that doesn't need to be there anymore. You can imagine yourself sitting at a little desk with a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper. Being encouraged to write down some of the fears that you are conscious of that no longer serve you, and writing them down on that piece of paper. 3 or 4, not a whole lot. And just sit with those for a moment or so. Notice how they've affected your life. Notice how you've identified with them. Notice how, at least in some aspects of your life, you thought to yourself, you needed those fears to protect you or to move you forward or whatever reason you might have given them. And then you look at that list and say to yourself, if this is true, I am willing to release these fears that no longer serve me. And if there is a little bit of continued attachment, for whatever reasons, I am willing to be willing to release these fears. To stop in that place of willingness, wherever you might find yourself, and imagine yourself holding on to that list and offering it to the guides that have been our teachers for these past number of months, saying, here. If you allow us, they say, we will transmute your fears. And especially in a place of willingness where you find yourself. And allow the energy of these words to sink into your being. I see all things with the eyes of the Christ. I see all manifestations of mankind with the eyes of the Christ. I see through history. I see through time. I see through the fog of indecision and confusion to witness the light that is in all things. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know how I serve. I am word through all that I see before me. Word, I am word. You are the light, my friends. And from this high place, you heal the world. God as you, the Spirit of God as you, works through you to transform and to relieve all the darkness that has ever been in the awareness of divine love. There is no man on this plane who is unworthy. You are here. You are being witnessed. And as you are being witnessed by us, you are witness to all men. As you witness to all beings, you witness the creation of man, the fear, the crime, whatever you would claim is outside of the light, you bring to the light. And as you lift it in your vision, I am word through what I see before me. I see with the eyes of the Christ. You become a beacon of light that heals the world. And we will end this with this prayer. I am whole. I am filled with light. I am perfect. I am filled with light. I am surrounded by the pure white light of Christ. Nothing but good shall come to me. Nothing but good shall go from me. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. Deep breath. Stretch a bit. Open your eyes when you're ready. You are the light of the world. And we have chosen to be here at this time so that we could be the light for ourselves and all of those who've forgotten they are the light. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Jerry.
Hope you have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you.
Super Sunday, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you,
Thank you,
Jerry.
Jerry.
Make it Super Sunday, whatever way you like to make it.
Thanks, Jerry.
Take care, you guys. See ya.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry. The next one. You can have this one if you want. Order a lot.
Yeah, there.